Well, amen. My name is Tony D'Amico, and I'm one of the eight pastors here at The Rock, and it's great to be with you all today, healthy. The last time I taught was in Hebrews, and if you recall, you got a video of me instead of being live because I was on the tail end of COVID, and I was not doing well. I was super drained, had a bad cough, but the Holy Spirit got me through it, and it was encouraging that I was able to deliver a message through technology, which is always fun, but it's much better to be here live with you all today. And so today we're continuing in our series called The Church. And the idea here is that we're looking at like what makes the church unique and why does it exist in the world today? And then how we can play it out here at The Rock. And we've had a lot of really great messages. We've had four so far. Tonight's number five. Brian kicked off the series with what God says about the church. Pastor Josh talked about why we should delight in the Bible and how to know it and obey it. And we just have this book. It's called the Bible, and it's an amazing thing. And then Pastor Caleb discussed like what our core value around every member, a minister, what that looks like. And then last week, Pastor Bill taught us about spiritual leadership and how that plays out here at The Rock, because we might do it just a little bit different than what everyone's used to. And so we wanted to get you all on the same page. And so if you're new and you've missed any of these messages, go back and listen to all of them. They're on our website. It's a really good way to get into understanding of our core values here at The Rock. And so today, we get to talk about what it means to reach the world for the gospel, to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is widely known as the Great Commission. And so what our core value is that we're going to be talking about today is simply the Great Commission. And this is part five of our message. And this is what's written in our core values. It says, the Great Commission, our ultimate goal and mission is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all nations. And this call to action is actually given to us at the end of Matthew 28. You guys probably know this verse. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the ages. And Jesus tells us here, very specifically, he's like, go, tell the world about who I am. And the cool thing is too, here at the end, is he says, I will also be with you. And so this verse is actually the driving force behind our vision and mission statements here at The Rock. And the reason why it's important to know all this is because as we get into this message tonight, these are really the backbone of what we're talking about. Does anybody know what our vision statement is? Anybody? Here's some murmuring. Here it is. It's awesome. It's one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. My life has been drastically changed because this church came about in, I think it was 1999. I found the church in 2004-ish. God led me here. And it's been an amazing ride since. And there are people in this church that have poured into my life. And in this whole idea here is that it's one life at a time. We can reach the world in our lifetime. Does anybody know what our mission statement is? Win, build, send, right? Win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. We will see the world changed by using this model, by winning the lost, building them up, and sending them out. This is how we're going to accomplish that vision. And so this is our how. It's important for us to understand these statements because, again, they are the framework of how we approach everything we do here at The Rock. If you guys saw all of our announcements, every single one of those falls into one of those categories. This isn't just like a willy-nilly, we just start throwing things in our programs. We actually are very thoughtful about what goes into it. Pastor Bill Young has this quote. He says, if it's not win, build, or send, let it end. We really do have a lot of good ideas that come our way, and we have to just say, does it line up with that? And if it doesn't, we say, okay, sorry, it's not going to happen. And this call to Great Commission drives so much what we do. We've even talked about tonight, it's like baptisms and communion and all of the things that we talked about during announcement. We have missions that we send people on, either short term, we have mission to the city, and the list can go on. Many of you have been part of these, all of these opportunities by either being in, by action, by prayer, by donating. And so we thank you for all of your work and support that you've gone through and helped us with this. But this leads us into the message tonight, which is, again, we are going to talk about those verses and how to apply win, build, send to our lives. This is go, make, baptize, and teach. apply, rinse, repeat. It's just this process. It's a circle that's constantly going. It's not just a one and done. So let's pray, and then we'll get into our message. Thank you, Lord, for your word. This gives us this foundation of action that we can actually live by. It's one that is set in truth, and it just can't be shaken. Open our hearts into our minds of what you have for us around this topic of being on mission and building the believer and setting the sanctified, and how we can walk through this and have it as a better understanding in our lives, and how we should live our lives as Christians to fulfill this great commission. Amen. All right, so let's take a look. How can we actually apply this to our lives? And so the first thing we're going to talk about is what it looks like to win the lost. As a church, we have a heart for the lost. We are outreach focused. This service is built around being outreach focused. We have ministries and we have events that are outreach focused. And so if you're new here tonight, just give you a little secret. We want to share the gospel with you at some point. Okay, so don't leave this building without doing it. Okay, go to the connections booth, come talk to myself, talk to anybody in this building that you've just met, and they want to share the gospel with you, because it is on the forefront of our mind. And so how do we live this out as Christians? How do we live out winning the lost? And so this question I have for you is, how can you win the lost? How can you win those around you? And I like to start with this verse, because this gives us a pretty clear understanding of why it's important and how we actually have something in us that is a light to the world. And in Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." Christians, if you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. This is a beacon of hope for the world. You have something that they need, and that is Jesus Christ. There are so many people around you that are hurting, that are looking for this. So the first thing we need to do, if we want to be a church that is winning people, we need to be in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It is essential that we are praying. First, we need to be praying for those around us. And so if you are not praying for the unbelievers in your life, this is the first place for you to start. Create a list on a daily basis. Be like, okay, here are the people in my life that I know are not Christians who need to hear the love of Jesus. Pray for opportunities for you to speak with them. Pray for opportunities for other people to inject into their lives. I pray for people all the time, and that is one of the things that it's like, it's not just about me praying, it's about how can other people even be injected in this. And one thing I always say is, God, use me in a way that I can see in ways that I don't. Pray for their spiritual needs. Pray that the Holy Spirit will influence their lives and change their hearts. When you start looking at people in this way of like saying, okay, I'm going to pray for them and look for the needs that they have in their life, you become a lot more empathetic towards those people. Create a list. Pray through that list consistently. Many of you in this room are a result of that prayer, of someone praying for you. Next thing, be hospitable. Hebrews 13:2, I taught on this on my last message. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And this is one of those things where it's kind of easy to push off and be like, well, I have my own little bubble and I'm only going to invite these people into my home. But in today's day and age, if you guys have noticed, there's this like disconnection of like real relationship, and people are just replacing it with this idea that a digital environment or entertainment and all these other things are replacing what real relationship looks like. And the best way to do this is put your devices away, invite people over, and share a meal with them. Building relationships with people gives you this unique ability to be that light into their lives and let them see who God is. It gives you gospel opportunities. It gives you the people the ability to see how the Lord has worked in your life. Invite people into your home that are unsaved. Use your life as a way to be hospitable and share the love of Jesus with them. First couple years of my marriage with Shannon, we would have people over constantly. This was just like a thing that we did. We loved it. We would stay up sometimes till 2-3 o'clock in the morning talking about Jesus. That's when I was younger. I'm older now. I like to sleep. I have kids. And so it changes, right? And so we're like, let's share a meal together. I love to cook and I love to be able to express that with people and share that with people. And so that's how we do this. And so how to be hospitable is not just a one size fits all. I mean, you singles, you can stay out till 2-3 in the morning going to Denny's and having those conversations. And you have empty nesters. We have people who are married with children. Think about ways of how you can be hospitable to the lost around you and bring them into your home to build a relationship and use that for the gospel. The next is, in addition to being hospitable, is just being available. How many times have you been in a situation as a Christian where someone has just reached out to you and are like, hey, I'm having a bad day. And you're like, well, let's have a conversation. Or if you're available and somebody calls you at 2 o'clock in the morning and they just found out that it's a friend of yours and they found out that their spouse was cheating on them and you're able to help work through that with them. Or a coworker that's just running into problems with their kids, how you can be available to help them. Or even a neighbor who just found out that they've got a terminal illness. Just being available can also give you this ability to share the gospel. We have hurting people around us all the time, and they just need somebody to talk to. And this is a great way to share the love of Christ with them. Even one time at my job, because I don't work at the church anymore, and I work at a design agency, and one of my employees came up to me, and they said, hey, can we have a quick conversation over some coffee? And I'm like, if you manage people, the first thing in my mind was like, okay, they're going to put in their notice. That's how this is going to go. But that's not what happened. She was like, hey, I know you're Christian. My dad started going to a Christian church, and I just want to know more about who Jesus is. And so we were able to have a conversation. I was able to plant some truth into this person's life just by being available, and she knew that I was a Christian. And so if you are in a place of like work or school or even in your neighbors, do they know that you're a Christian? Are you available for those that are around you? Being available to new people, even that are here at church, every weekend we have so many new people here. And it's like, be available to those new people. As Steele even mentioned in worship today, he's like, we are all uniquely placed. And that is one thing that I think about all the time is it's not a mistake that you are in the neighborhood you are. It's not a mistake you're in the job that you are. You're not a mistake with the unique talents and relationships that you have been given. Those are all things from the Lord. And he's saying, use that and tell people about who I am. God will use you if you let him. And so my challenge for you here is this. How can you grow in winning the lost? Is this something that's on the forefront of your mind on a daily basis? Or are you actually thinking about like, oh, as I'm moving out my day, am I winning the lost? Is that something that I'm even thinking about? So as a church, we like to win the lost. That is why we exist. So next, within our mission, is we want to build the believer. All of us in this room, at one point in our lives, were not believers. We just weren't. No one was born a Christian. Jesus hits you, and all of a sudden this Holy Spirit moves inside of you, and this is the moment of your salvation where sanctification in your life starts. This is where this building happens. This is where you are set apart from the rest of the world, and you are set apart unto the Lord. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then we see this in John chapter 17. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth, with your word is truth. And the reason why I think that this verse is so important, especially as we're going through some of this stuff here as the core values, we're talking about the word is the truth, that is the Bible, and that is how we are sanctified, is by learning and trusting in what the Bible teaches us. And entering into the salvation, this is a one and done. You're in a place now, if you are separated unto the Lord, this is not something you lose. You cannot lose your salvation. And now it's game time, because your reliance on what you thought could save you before has now shifted to only Jesus, and your trust in him alone is going to get you to heaven. And so us as a church, as pastors and staff and deacons, we want to give you as many resources as you possibly can to be built up within this church. So once you're saved, it is not something where we just want to send you out on your own and do it. No, that is why we have a church body. And the next thing is, we want to build you up. And so how can you build up? This is kind of a two-way street here, because it's you need to help build the believer, and then you also need to be built up. But it starts with you and Jesus, right? This is the first thing that needs to happen. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This sanctification process starts, and it is you and Jesus. Your mom, your dad, your friend, your boss, your coworkers, they can all be part of building you up, but you have to want this. This has to be stirred up within you. Ultimately, if you try to put your trust in something else to help build you up at this point in your life, it's not going to happen. It's going to fail you. It has to be between you and Jesus. People are going to fail you. Ministries are going to fail you because it is all fallible. Jesus is not fallible. He is the one that is going to continue your sanctification. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do ministry things and be with people. We're going to get to that in a second. But it starts here with you and Jesus. Put this on the forefront of your daily mind. Is it that you are abiding in him? Are you in the word? Are you praying on a daily basis? So from here, are you delighting in the Bible? And Pastor Josh gave a great message about knowing and loving and obeying the Bible. We have this book that is honey on our lips. It is sweet to our taste. Getting to know God is to be in the word, as we just even saw. That is the truth. Being in prayer often, make it a daily habit. This is the thing that's going to let you wash over your soul. And so there's this idea of like, how sweet is honey? Like, think about the Bible in that context. The one thing I like about Psalms 119, there's like a lot of this relation of like, the Bible is like as sweet as honey. The word of the Lord is sweet as honey. Wisdom is like better than gold, all these comparisons. And so if you think about it, like, what is the one thing in your life you're like, what do I love so much? And then you're like, okay, the word is better than that. And for me, it's this, it's pizza. I love pizza. And so when I think about it, I was like, okay, well, the word of the Lord is better than the best tasting pizza, all right? And it makes my heart happy to think like that. To get to know the Lord and having the word wash over us on this daily basis. And also what it does is it starts to train our subconscious, okay? Because when we're storing the word in our hearts, then what happens is as we're running into these things of like in the world, we're like, oh, is this godly? No, that's not. Oh, what is this one person saying? No, this doesn't line up with what the Bible says. Because everyone's being evangelized to, right? You're driving down the freeway and how many billboards are there, and you're on your social media and how many ads are popping up, and influencers and all this stuff is constantly preaching at you. And the only way you're gonna be able to decipher what is good and what is healthy is by understanding the word and memorizing it and putting it in your heart. And again, we have programs for you to help with this. That's Memory Madness. There's all these abilities to be able to understand how this works. Next is be in discipleship. We as humans are designed to be in relationship, and we see this in John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By all of this, people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. We are relational creatures. This is by design. We need to be in relationship, and discipleship is very relational. And we even see in this model, Jesus is like, you need to be in relationship, you need to be in discipleship, and then the world is gonna know because of the love that you have for one another. And this word disciple means learner. Disciple in the New Testament, the disciples in the New Testament answer to Jesus' call to follow them. And discipleship is following Jesus. It's learning, trusting, and obeying his word. And this is essential to the Christian life. And this is a two-way street here, okay? You need to be discipled by others, and you also need to be discipling others. But again, if you're not in the word and praying, you can't really disciple people. And so you need to be in the word, and you need to be in prayer. And then you can learn what it looks like to disciple people. When you truly love one another, this is like one thing that really stuck out to me was like, you can work through hard things. Discipleship is not this like easy thing. There are so many times that I have people in my life that come to me and say, hey, Tony, that was, what you just said there was not right. And I'm like, oh, and I have to think about that and be like, you are right. Thank you for calling me out on that. I was not treating this person well that day. My wife does this to me all the time. And it's great. She helps me become more Christ-like by checking my tone and making sure that I'm not doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And she is amazing in that. And we all have people in our lives that can help us grow closer to Christ. But when we have that relationship, it's hard. And so if you are offended by somebody, you need to work that out with them. And that's how people are going to know that we are Christians, by our love for one another. Every Christian should be helping others, believers, grow to maturity. And every Christian should be looking for ways from others to help continue their growth with the Lord. And that is making disciples. And that is a two-way street. Bonhoeffer says, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. And this is heavy because once you're saved, you can't just go off and do your own thing. You have to be in community. You need to be in relationship. And I think sometimes there's this misconception, again, that like discipleship is one-on-one. Like it's only like one person and discipling one person, and that's not necessarily true. It can look in completely different in every stage of life. I recently read this on Together for the Gospel's website around discipleship, and it posed this question. It's like, am I availing myself to the many means of the grace that my local church offers? Am I sitting under and applying the preaching of God's word, participating in the Lord's Supper, attending Bible studies and fellowship with God's people that I serve? If you are, you're being discipled. You're being in the lives of other people. And I think I've heard it in the past, like, oh, so-and-so doesn't meet with me anymore and I'm not being discipled. It's like, well, there's a million other ways that you can be discipled, and that's this laundry list. So make sure that you're looking for ways to be discipled. Knowing and understanding the areas that you need to be discipled in is also a sign of a mature believer. We need to build ourselves up, and we need to build those up around us. So my challenge for you here is, what are you doing to build yourself and those around you? This is a big deal for us, because when we see people come to Christ, we have to build them up. We ourselves need to be built so that we can build others. And this is something that you need to stir up in yourself on a daily basis. So the next thing that we need to talk about is sending the sanctified. So we're saying, Jesus says, go make disciples. So why should you go? You know, the sending is a huge part of the DNA of our church. Bill and a small team were sent here from a church in Colorado to plant this church. And how many of your lives have been changed by that team coming out? And then that church in Colorado was sent from another church, I think it was in Ames, and they went to Colorado. So you see that sending is part of our DNA of why these churches even exist. Even at the time, I believe it was around 2% evangelical Christians when Bill came here in 1999. The workers are needed. And that call is very apparent. First off, Jesus is like, go. And then we see this verse, the workers are needed, Luke 10:2. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So we can see again, we need to pray, we need to go. When we start stepping out of our daily lives and into this place of like saying like, okay, I have a mission mindset and I'm gonna go out today and see how I can actually serve the Lord in this. It's kind of like, again, eye-opening. We start seeing people in a different light and we do need to go. This idea of a ship sinking, I've heard this analogy and I think it's great. We can be in a lifeboat and there's people drowning all around us. We have two options here, right? We can stay away from all the people that are drowning, self-preservation. We'll just stay over here. We're not going to move. We're just going to stay in our own little place and not try to save anybody else because we are saved. We are in the lifeboat and other people are going to drown, and that's okay. The other option is steer your boat into the drowning people and throw out as many life preservers as you can. Pull as many people up into the boat as you can. People are going to hell. That is the truth. They are around us every day, unsaved people. We are those, if you are a Christian, you are in that lifeboat. You have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus and share the gospel with them. We can throw out those life preservers. Take the focus off yourself and start looking at people differently. See them as valuable, as children of the Lord. Throwing out that life preserver is an amazing thing, and we have to remember that is God who does the saving, but he will use us because he tells us over and over again, go, go, go do this, go do this. And sometimes we can get wrapped up in this idea that if we're preaching the gospel and people aren't saying the sinner's prayer, that we're not doing our job. And the thing is, we can put so much time and energy into like slicked up presentations and processes and tools. I mean, I am a process guy. I am driven by that. And I think the better that we can make things, it's just always better. But God is like, no, just go, because I'll take care of you. And I'll give you the words to say. And we even see this here in 1 Corinthians. It's Paul talking. He's like, I planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything but God who gives the growth. And so we can get somebody one step closer. We can plant, we can water, we can do all those things, but ultimately God is the one who's going to save people. And the nice thing I like about that is, again, it's not relying on me except for I just need to open my mouth and go. Just as Paul writes in these verses, we're called to this action, to plant and to water. God gives the growth. And I have to believe that God gave us this word go again in Matthew 28 as a specific call to action, because it's easy to fall into that rut as like, oh, well, I donated to missions, or I'm praying for those who are on mission, but that's as far as I'm going to do this. I'm not going to go. That's not my thing. I'm just going to give money and I'm going to pray. And those two things are great because we need prayer, as we've been talking about. We also need money to send people. That's just part of it. But you miss out on that portion of going. And that's a big deal. You're missing out on that life-changing opportunity that Jesus gives you to be part of the beautiful feet of those who bring good news. Another reason why we need to go is it refreshes the saints. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brothers, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Being in ministry is hard. It is like being in battle all the time. There's times it's going well, where the ground is being taken, and it's awesome. And then there are times where it is brutal, and it is rough. Being sent to those churches, to those weary saints, and going out into the field and helping in that context is just a blessing to the other saints. I've been on short-term mission trips where seeing this desperation of those saints changed my life, and it was refreshing. But then on the flip side, they're like, oh my gosh, it is so good to have some new people here and helping us in this battle. And it refreshed them and gave them more energy to keep going. The next thing, it's going to change your life. Being on mission changed my life. 2006, I was in a spiritual funk. My walk with the Lord was lacking, to say the least. And there's a lot to that backstory. We don't need to get into that necessarily in this, but what happened was Mac asked me to go on this mission trip. Mac and Steele, they're like, hey, we're going to Italy to proclaim the name of Jesus to the nations, quite literally, because it was the Olympics. And they're like, we need someone to come play music with us. And I was like, yeah, right. I'm not going to do that. I was like, it's not part of my life right now. I'm working in my career, and I can't take off time during this at that time because it's like really hard in the industry that I was in. And I just remember this push. It was like, God's like, now you're going on this trip. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. So I asked for time off. I got it. Didn't think I was going to. We needed a lot of money, and the money came in. This was like in a 2-week period. It was really crazy. And I was like, this is definitely from the Lord. So we need to go on this trip. And I remember even just like thinking about all this before and how desperate I was like, Lord, I just need this change in my life. And so I had my plan, and that's why this verse here, I have this on the screen. This is a life verse of mine now. It's like Proverbs 69, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. And I always find irony in this because I always have my plan that I'm going to do, and then the Lord's like, nope, you're going this way instead. And because of that, I had my career, all these things planned out. I went on this mission trip, and then that all changed. The Lord got a hold of my heart pretty drastically. So much so that when I came back, I quit my job, changed my career, and got a job at The Rock. And so that was not my plan. I thought I was simply going on to support what happened, but no, it drastically changed me. Seeing the desperation and the love for the Italian saints that they had for the Lord blew me away. Seeing the lives of the saints, even from The Rock that came with us, blew me away, and it changed my life. And a side note here, this is why it's so good to like know who your leaders are. This is just a testament to Mac and Jeannie's life. I remember on that trip, it was the first time I really hung out with them. And I was like, oh man, their marriage is beautiful. I want a marriage like that. And Mac is one of my pastors, and I could see his life on that mission trip and how desperate he was for the Lord and how he treated his wife. And it changed me. Seeing the desperation of Steele, there's a one story. I'll go through this quick, but we were supposed to play music in this piazza. All the power didn't work, so Steele had to get up on a box and play his acoustic guitar, and he was so freaked out to do it. And then it was like apparently during the morning show, and Katie Couric, if you guys know who that is. So Steele's music was like playing in the background because we were in the same piazza. It was kind of interesting, but anyway. And the thing I like about this is, again, like when God just says, just go, it's like, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we're called to go. Like, we're called to go do these things. Jesus Christ fulfilled salvation by his death and resurrection. He opened the door to the new age, one that he is giving the Holy Spirit to those who receive this salvation, calling them to be the witness to work of the Lord proclaiming the gospel of the world. So ultimately, God has sent us. We are all uniquely made, as we've talked about a few times already. We have individual talents. We are placed in specific cities with gifts of influence. Do not mistake what God has done for you and given you. Use that to share the gospel. You are placed where you are for a specific purpose. So my challenge for you here is this: how can you be more mission-minded? And I know like some of us use these questions for small groups. And so if you are discussing these, here's another one. It's like, have you ever been on a mission trip? What was your experience? How did it change you? And what did you learn? We are sent. We are called to win. We are called to build. And we are called to send. So that's kind of on the individual level. Now, how do we reconcile this for the church? Why is the Great Commission essential for the church? Well, there's a few things. First, it gives us this common vision. First, it is that one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. It's a goal we can all work towards. It's essential for the church so that we all have this vision, because without that vision, we just all kind of go our separate ways and not really have something to work towards. And the one of the first points of why it is because it builds unity. This is why it's essential. People working together to win, build, send. It's not an individual task. We need multiple people to help doing this. It builds unity because you get to deal with the good, the bad, the ugly with people. When you're actually like running hard for something, you're going to see people at their worst. You're going to see them at their best. You're going to see them when they're tired. You're going to see them when they're hungry. You're going to see when they're happy. I've seen people in airports have meltdowns and hostels have meltdowns. I've seen people be at their best in sharing in the gospel. And in all of that, it just builds these lasting relationships. We need people to be disciplers. We need people to disciple. And in that, it builds unity. It builds relationship. And this is a big deal. We're not called to be Lone Ranger Christians. That's why we have a church body. That's why we can come here and be together. It's a big deal. And builds unity. Again, it gives us this ability to use our unique talents. We're all equipped to build and win and send all uniquely. And there's like this term, it's Aristotle said it first, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And this is an art term. And the idea here is that I can only do so much by myself, but when you take Pastor Brian and you put him and Tony together, we can do more together than we can do if we were to separately try to do those things, because we all have different individual talents. So then you start tacking on more, right? You add three people, you add four people, and all of a sudden it's exponentially gets so much better to work together, and we can take so much more ground, because there are things that I am gifted uniquely in. As I'm a designer by trade, that is what I do. If you were to put me into a medical situation and I see blood, I'm gonna pass out, okay? And that's why God gives those doctors, like Dr. Dave, the ability to handle blood, because I cannot do that. You can do so much more when you have more people together. And that's why you need to use your unique talents. The other, again, is just a common goal for the gospel. This is not a singular activity. We need to work together. It also helps us protect from wolves, because when we have a lot of people looking out for each other, what's going to happen? We're going to be able to identify wolves very quickly. when we have vision together, we flourish. And so having this common goal in the gospel of all of us coming together and saying, hey, we want to win the lost, we want to build the believer, we want to send the sanctified. When we can do that, we are going to do a lot. And that means we're going to see the world change through that mission. So in conclusion, we are a church that focuses on the call to fulfill the Great Commission, to win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. We need to go because people need to hear the name of Jesus. And Paul writes to the Romans, and that verse is wrong on the top. I am sorry, I missed that. But the verse is correct. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. And that's Romans 10, 13 through 15. This is that idea of apply, rinse, repeat. It's a continual process. We need to win people to Christ. We need to build them up and we need to send them. We need to win the lost. We need to build the believer. We need to send the sanctified. If we don't do one, we don't have the other. If we don't win the lost, we can't build them up. If we don't build, we can't win or send. And if we're not doing either of those, we're not gonna be able to do any of it. And so again, just a quick recap, our core value of the Great Commission, our ultimate goal and mission is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all nations. Our vision statement, one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. And the last is win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. That is our mission. And so Christian, if you are in this room, you are called to win, build, and send. Find ways in your life that you can stir that up. Be part of what's going on here at The Rock. Find ways to serve and be in community. Be discipled and be a discipler. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Just thank you for the ability to come together as believers and talk about your word and see what you have for us. And it's so simple. Quite literally, you just tell us to go. Proclaim your name to the nations. And Lord, it's an amazing call that we can be a part of what you have for us. And even as Steele and Kim saying tonight around seeking and saving, Lord, that's you. And thank you for placing us in this time, in this place, in this church, that we can just work together and love one another, that we can see people come to know who you are through this group of people. And so, Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room that you challenge them in ways that they've never been challenged before, that they can view those unsaved people as children of you. And Lord, if you, or for those who are not in this room who are not Christians, I ask that you just change their hearts and give them opportunities to hear your word. And Lord, we just ask that you be with us as we go throughout the week. We commit it to you. Amen.